The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
Oh, man. Well, welcome to a Thursday in the aftermath. I'm not even sure where to begin today. Welcome to life in fucked up America. That's where we are. We're in is out and up is down. I've talked about opposite world for years. We are there. We have gone through the looking glass. And we have come out in a place that I don't know or understand or recognize. But it is an ugly, unwelcoming, unfun, uncivilized place. And again, where just nothing makes sense. And to show, I got to tell, I'm not the biggest fan of George Conway. George Conway, first of all, anybody who would marry Kellyanne Conway, I have serious questions about his judgment. And the fact is, he's a Republican. He's a Neanderthal. The only thing probably that we agree on is that Donald Trump is a piece of shit. And I can say that without any hesitation. He is a low-life, scum, ignorant, judgmental, narcissistic, megalomaniacal. I mean, I could probably go on for hours, and maybe one of these days I'll use my time in a constructive manner and pull out the thesaurus and just assemble a list of words that illustrate what Donald Trump is. But piece of shit really kind of works. Today started off badly enough with the National Prayer Breakfast. Why in God's name, she says that, a bit ironically, do we have a National Prayer Breakfast? The separation of church and state is enshrined in the Constitution. I'm sorry, nothing religious in nature should be on a national basis. That's number one. So it started off with that ridiculous event that is now in its like 68th year or some nonsense like that. And Donald Trump, who pretends to be a Christian, goes out there and I'm sorry, I'm an atheist Jew and I'm more Christian than he is. Seriously. It's just astounding. The ugliness that emanates from this man is just vomitatious. So after he used time at this National Prayer Breakfast, which is supposed to be a nonpartisan event, he turned it into a partisan event and started, you know, casting aspersions on Nancy Pelosi's religiosity. Ugh, everything about him just makes me want to jump into the shower because I just feel icky when I even say his name. He's that disgusting of an excuse for a human being. He is that sickening. And may I remind you that this idiot who the evangelicals of the United States are, you know, all loving because what they think he'll bring about the rapture sooner. So people like me will go back to Israel. And so the end of the world can happen. If you want the end of your world to happen, just blow yourself up already. Buy one of those guns that it's all too easy to get and put it in your mouth and blow out your fucking brains. If you want the world to end, then end it for yourself. Leave the rest of us out of it. I'm not in a great mood today. Can you tell? Because I woke up and I heard Donald Trump's bullshit. And then he decides he's going to speak from the East Room about being acquitted in this bullshit scam, sham of a trial that had no witnesses and no new evidence introduced. That's not a trial. That's a sham. But I made the mistake of listening for a few minutes, and oh my God, if you thought pre-impeachment Donald Trump was obnoxious and disgusting and a tiny, bitter, ugly little man, you ain't seen nothing yet. So here we are, you know, all I can think of is the projection that comes out of his mouth, the way everything that emanates from him is a lie, and his real feelings he projects onto others. So when he says Nancy Pelosi doesn't pray, well, he's talking about himself, you know that. So anyway, I started talking about George Conway. And no, I'm not a big George Conway fan. Again, anyone who'd marry Kellyanne Conway, I have serious reservations about. And again, he's a Republican. So right there, I don't trust him. I don't like him. But on one thing we agree, and that is our mutual opinion of Donald Trump. So George Conway has a great Twitter stream, right? He's the one who came up with the hashtag Impotus that I was talking about yesterday, because he is. He's an impeached, impotent, sorry excuse for a president. But there are a number of interesting op-ed pieces that are worthy of the few minutes it'll take you to read them. A couple in the Washington Post and the New York Times. And one I'm going to share with you right now was written by George Conway. It's from yesterday's Washington Post. And you'll see where this is going quickly into this op-ed. But it really sort of encapsulates the way I'm feeling in this opposite world kind of mentality where, again, in is out and up is down and red is black and right is oh so fucking wrong. So here's what George Conway wrote. I believe the president and in the president. I believe the Senate is right to acquit the president. I believe a fair trial is one with no witnesses and that the trial was therefore fair. I believe the House was unfair because it found evidence against him. I believe that if the president does something that he believes will get himself reelected, that's in the public interest and can't be the kind of thing that results in impeachment. I believe former National Security Advisor John Bolton has no relevant testimony because he didn't leave the White House on good terms. I believe the president's call was perfect. I believe he is deeply concerned about corruption in Ukraine. I believe the president can find Ukraine on a map. I believe Ukraine interfered with the 2016 election and that the intelligence community's suggestion otherwise is a deep state lie. I believe the Democratic National Committee server is in Ukraine where CrowdStrike had it. I believe President Barack Obama placed a tap with two P's on the president's phone in 2016 and that the Russia investigation was a plot to keep him from winning, even though the plotters didn't think he could win. I believe former special counsel Robert Mueller was conflicted because he quit one of the president's golf clubs and that he and his angry Democrats conducted a witch hunt to destroy the president. But I believe Mueller's report totally exonerated the president because it found no collusion and no obstruction. I believe it would be okay for the president to say he grabs women by their pussies because he is a star and stars are allowed to do that. But I believe he didn't say that, even though he apologized for it, because I believe the Access Hollywood tape was doctored because he said it was. I believe E. Jean Carroll lied when she accused the president of rape because he said she's not his type. I believe the dozens of other women who accused him of sexual misconduct are also lying because he would never think of grabbing them by the pussies or anything else. I believe the president didn't know Michael Cohen was paying off porn star Stormy Daniels and that Cohen did it on his own because the president had no reason to pay her off. I believe the president was reimbursing Cohen for his legal expertise. I believe the president is a good Christian, because TV pastors say so, and that it's okay he doesn't ask for God's forgiveness because he doesn't need to. And since he's the chosen one, I believe the president knows the Bible and that 2 Corinthians are better than 1. I believe the president wants to release his taxes, but has not because he's under audit, which is why he has fought all the way to the Supreme Court not to disclose them. I believe he will disclose them when the audit is over and that they will show him to be as rich and honest as he says he is. I believe the president is a very stable genius and that he repeatedly tells us so because it's true. I believe the president can spell. I believe any spelling mistakes he makes are because he's a very busy man who doesn't watch much TV, or because he's intentionally triggering the libs. Yeah. I believe Hurricane Dorian was headed straight for Alabama. I believe the president's map wasn't altered with a Sharpie, and that if it was, he didn't do it, since he didn't need to because he was right. I believe the president didn't call Apple's CEO Tim Apple, and that he actually said Tim Cook of Apple really, really fast. But that if he did say Tim Apple, it was to save words, which he always tries to do. I believe windmills are bad and cause cancer. I believe there was a mass shooting in Toledo and that there were airports during the revolution because the president said so. I believe the president is defeating socialism, despite the subsidies he's paying to save farmers from his protectionism. Oh, and the $3.2 trillion he's added to the national debt during his term. I believe the president has made tremendous progress building the wall, you know, the one that Mexico paid for in the trade deal, and that the wall will soon run from San Diego to the Gulf of Mexico, that it will stop those caravans cold, and that it won't fall down, especially if a gust of wind comes up and blows on it. I believe the president has a 95% approval rating among Republicans and that there's no need to cite polls for that. I believe the president had the largest inaugural crowd ever, regardless of what any photos from liberal bureaucrats might show. I believe that there is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea. I believe China pays all tariffs levied on imported goods, imported Chinese goods. Sure they do. I believe the president is truthful. I believe the fake news media lied each of the 16,241 times they have said he has made a false or misleading claim. I believe the president is selfless and always puts the nation's interests first. I believe he isn't a narcissist, but he'd be entitled to be one if he were. I believe the president would never exercise his presidential powers to advance his personal interests, but if he did, that would be okay because whatever is in his personal interests is necessarily in the nation's interests as well. I believe Article 2 of the Constitution gives the president the right to do whatever he wants. Again, that was an op-ed published in yesterday's Washington Post by George Conway. Yes, husband of Kellyanne Conway. Did they live in the same house? Do they actually talk to one another? This I don't understand. And I know it's actually really none of our business, but ew. So the opposite worldly nature of that speaks volumes. How delusional must those people be, those 52 senators who voted that Donald Trump was not guilty on abuse of power? That's what he did. He abused his power. He does it every single goddamn fucking day. We are an opposite world. Nothing makes sense anymore.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew at all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
Now, I don't have anything funny for you today. I looked. Nothing was funny to me today. Nothing made me laugh today. I'm this close. I'm on the verge of just losing my shit because I can't believe this is where our world is. I can play for you a couple of pieces of audio. In fact, I've got some in today's What's News. I guess we should go there because obviously there's a lot going on. So fuck it. We'll do it live. Fuck it. We'll do it live. So it's all over, but the crying. I'm sure there's lots of that to come. Donald Trump, and it pains me to say these words, was acquitted Wednesday by the U.S. Senate of two articles of impeachment passed by the House: abuse of power and obstruction of Congress.
The president says he will address this vote tomorrow, declaring victory tonight. But this is not the bipartisan acquittal his allies wanted. This vote now closing a chapter that will mark President Trump's legacy forever.
The 4.5-month impeachment saga over in just 22 history-making minutes.
Ms. Collins, not guilty. Mr. McConnell, not guilty.
The president acquitted of abusing power and obstructing Congress.
Donald John Trump B, and he is hereby acquitted of the charges in said articles.
But the vote was not on party lines, not after Utah Republican Mitt Romney chose to convict the president on one of the charges, pressuring Ukraine to investigate his political rivals.
The president's purpose was personal and political.
Democrats stayed united.
Mr. Manchin, guilty.
How damaging is it that this is now not a bipartisan acquittal?
It was a bipartisan opposition to the impeachment articles themselves.
It would have taken 67 senators to remove the president after House Democrats impeached him. But given the chamber's Republican majority, that always seemed a non-starter.
The state of our union is stronger
Bullshit.
Than ever before.
Nonsense.
It comes at a moment of bitter partisanship after a State of the Union speech that began with an apparent missed handshake and ended with ripped remarks. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi defending her decision to tear up her copy of the president's speech moments after he delivered it.
Because it was a manifesto of mistruths.
Vice President Pence firing back.
And I think it was a new low. I wasn't sure if she was ripping up the speech or ripping up
the
Constitution.
You.
The state of our union tonight divided. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Capitol Hill.
You know, what's interesting is somebody in the chat room mentioned Elise, said I could hear him sniffing after every sentence. He wasn't sniffing during the State of the Union, which leads me to believe he was on a different drug Tuesday night. He's usually doing the Adderall sniff. And in fact, this morning, if you heard him and any of his stuff at the prayer breakfast, and I'll play a clip for you in a little bit, his delivery was that same sniff-infused, halted, plodding, dragging on delivery. But during the State of the Union, he was actually speaking. I know Nancy Pelosi this morning said he sounded like he was sedated. Actually, to me, he sounded like he was on that drug New Vigil, which wakes you up, because he had a little bit of pep in his step during the State of the Union. It wasn't plodded along like this with an Adderall sniff after every few words in the monotone delivery, like he's a third grader reading a book report that he's looked at for the very first time. Yeah, but he went back to that again today. Anyway, I digress. We'll get back to that. Senator Mitt Romney of Utah was the lone Republican to vote to convict Trump on one of the two counts, abuse of power. And, you know, thank you, Mitt Romney, because he robbed Trump of the ability to declare the impeachment as a partisan hoax. This also, by the way, makes Romney the first and so far only senator to vote to remove a president of his own party.
The allegations made in the articles of impeachment are very serious. As a senator juror, I swore an oath before God to exercise impartial justice. I am profoundly religious. My faith is at the heart of who I am. I take an oath before God as enormously consequential. I knew from the outset that being tasked with judging the president, the leader of my own party, would be the most difficult decision I have ever faced. I was not wrong. The House managers presented evidence supporting their case, and the White House counsel disputed that case. In addition, the president's team presented three defenses. First, that there could be no impeachment without a statutory crime. Second, that the Biden's conduct justified the president's actions. And third, that the judgment of the president's actions should be left to the voters. Let me first address those three defenses. The historic meaning of the words high crimes and misdemeanors, the writings of the founders, and my own reasoned judgment convinced me that a president can indeed commit acts against the public trust that are so egregious that while they are not statutory crimes, they would demand removal from office. To maintain that the lack of a codified and comprehensive list of all the outrageous acts that a president might conceivably commit renders Congress powerless to remove such a president defies reason. The grave question the Constitution tasks senators to answer is whether the president committed an act so extreme and egregious that it rises to the level of a high crime and misdemeanor.
It did.
Yes, he did. The president asked a foreign government to investigate his political rival.
Yes, he did.
The president withheld vital military funds from that government to press it to do so.
Yes, he did.
The president delayed funds for an American ally at war.
Yes, he did.
With Russian invaders. The president's purpose was personal and political. Accordingly, the president is guilty of an appalling abuse of public trust. What he did was not perfect. No, it was a flagrant assault on our electoral rights, our national security, and our fundamental values.
Yeah.
Corrupting an election to keep oneself in office is perhaps the most abusive and destructive violation of one's oath of office that I can imagine.
What more needs to be said? He's a Republican. I have no love lost for Mitt Romney, but he did the right thing yesterday. Well, half of the right thing, because if he was really doing the right thing, he wouldn't have caved on the second one. Obviously, Trump obstructed the Congress by refusing to let anybody in his universe testify or to release one single document that was subpoenaed. Sickening. Absolutely sickening. And so as much as I really don't have much use for Mitt Romney, in this case, I applaud him. Thank you, Mitt Romney, for having the courage of your convictions, at least in a, you know, in one instance. And that's too much to ask, I guess, of anybody else in the Republican Senate. Shameful. Well, this morning, Donald Trump participated in the 68th annual National Prayer Breakfast, prompting me to ask again, why the fuck there's a National Prayer Breakfast? But I digress. Of course, Trump took to the stage waving around the newspapers that proclaimed acquitted on them. And all he did, again, nothing about prayer, because he doesn't understand anything about prayer. All he did was cat crow about his acquittal while taking jabs at those who held him accountable.
As everybody knows, my family, our great country, and your president have been put through a terrible ordeal.
Oh, fuck you! Hold on a second. What about the ordeal you put us through? You piece of shit! You human bit of excrement. How fucking dare you? Again, this is his projection. We've put him through this? He is a corrupt piece of shit who's profiting every goddamn day from being in the presidency. I don't know how much more of this I can take, but just to give you a little more of what he did this morning.
Some very dishonest and corrupt people.
You.
They have done everything possible to destroy us.
No, you did that yourself.
And by so doing, very badly hurt our nation.
No, you hurt the nation, you piece of shit.
They know what they are doing is wrong, but they put themselves far ahead.
Look in the mirror.
Of our great country.
Look in the mirror. you know what? I can't take it. I'm sorry. I need a song. Fuck you. By the way, the ratings are in for Tuesday night's State of the Union address, and Donny Boy can be so proud. About 37.2 million people watched, making it the smallest live TV audience for a presidential address to Congress since Obama's final State of the Union in 2016. I guess that's not going back very far. But yeah, Donny, your audience is diminishing. Go figure. How can that happen? Oh, my God. Ugh. Okay, in other news, let's talk Iowa, shall we? Must we? Well, let's start with the good news. I don't know that there's any good news out of Iowa. The results of Monday's Iowa caucuses continue to trickle in. As of early this morning, they're still not all in. 97% of the precincts had been counted by this morning. Bernie Sanders is leading the popular vote. Shocker. While Pete Buttigieg appears to be holding on to the lead in the number of state delegate equivalents by 1/10 of a point. Bernie was at, Buttigieg was at 26.2% of the delegates. Bernie at 26.1. But what happened is those satellite caucuses they had for people who are out of state, those returns, for whatever reason, were saved until the very end. And it was a lot of Bernie stuff coming in. So it looks like Bernie is taking the lead. And in fact, this morning, Bernie Sanders was in New Hampshire and spoke to reporters and declared victory. Of course, a reporter asked him this.
Mayor Pete's been declaring a win for days now. Why should people believe your victory speech over his?
Because I got 6,000 more votes.
Ah.
And from where I come, when you get 6,000 more votes, that's generally regarded to be the winner.
Yeah, it generally is. So Bernie got 6,000 more votes. Pete Buttigieg has been for 2 days saying, I won, I won. And now that the numbers are coming in and it's showing that Bernie probably won, well, now, DNC Chairman Tom Perez has called for an immediate, 2 days later, re-canvass of the Iowa caucuses by the state Democratic Party. Why, Tom? Because all of a sudden Bernie's winning? The timing is just a little bit suspect here. And on top of this, let's just point this little factoid out. Bernie Sanders' campaign announced their fundraising numbers for January. Oh, I still didn't get a drum roll. $25 million raised in the month of January alone. Yes, by Bernie Sanders' small donors. $25 million. Just let that sink in for a moment, okay? Yeah. By the way, let me give you one, did I play this Nancy Pelosi? I don't think I did. So Nancy Pelosi, did a little press conference this morning where she was asked about ripping up the speech, the text of the State of the Union speech at the end of it. I thought a fitting end to that crap of a display put on by Trump. Here's what she said.
I tore up a manifesto of mistruths. It's very hard for us to get you to talk about the issues that we are working on, HR 3, infrastructure and the rest. He misrepresented all of that. It was necessary to get the attention of the American people to say, this is not true, and this is how it affects you.
Hello.
And I don't need any lessons from anybody,
hello,
especially the President of the United States, about dignity.
Damn straight.
Dignity. Is it okay to start saying 4 more years in the House of Representatives?
No, it's not.
It's just unheard of. Is it unheard of for the president to insult people there who don't share his view, as well as to misrepresent, present falsehoods? Some would use the word lie. I don't like to use the word lie.
I use the word lie.
About what he is saying. So, no, I think it was completely, entirely appropriate. And considering some of the other exuberances within me, the courteous thing to do.
Absolutely. And by the way, just because I can, I didn't waste too much time on it, but the hypocrisy of these so-called senators who voted not guilty on this obvious criminal, this corrupt individual who's occupying the Oval Office. One of my senators, Marco Rubio, he voted to acquit him. Marco Rubio, what did you call Donald Trump?
Donald Trump is a con artist.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, he is.
We are going to send the message.
Yeah?
That the party of Lincoln and Reagan and the presidency of the United States will never be held by a con artist.
Not only, sorry, little Marco, but your party is run by a con artist. You guys just cleared the way for him to keep conning the country. How about his biggest defender, Ms. Lindsey Graham? Come on, Lindsey, tell us what you really think about Donald Trump.
He's a race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot.
Yeah, he is.
He doesn't represent my party. He doesn't represent the values that the men and women who wear the uniform are fighting for.
Really?
I've been in the Air Force for 33 years. I retired this June. Now, we have young men and women in harm's way all over the world.
We do.
Particularly in the Mideast.
Yeah.
They were concerned about this rhetoric because the enemy will use it against us.
As they should be.
So what was a concern last week has to be DEFCON 4 this week.
You think?
Because what Mr. Trump is doing, and I don't think he has a clue about anything. He's just trying to get his numbers up and get the biggest reaction he can.
Yeah.
He's putting our soldiers and diplomats at risk. He's empowering the enemy.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, do go on, Lindsey. Oh, and he does. I just heard enough of his voice, too. They're all fucking hypocrites. Every last goddamn one of them. All fucking hypocrites, and they all need to go. And let me tell you this, if we don't come out in such great numbers on November 3rd to force them all out of office, then I give up. I don't know what point there is in going on. I really don't. And if we can't get our shit together, by we, I'm talking about Democrats, even though, my goodness, if I could run the Democratic Party, it would certainly be run differently than it is today. Certainly, and Tom Perez would not be its chair. If we can't get our shit together to get these crooks, these criminals, these corrupt individuals out of office, then what the fuck are we doing here? Seriously, what are we doing here? I'm waiting for an answer. I guess I'm not going to get it. All right. Let's get Howie Klein on the line, shall we?
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're going to love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, hey, Howie Klein.
Bonjour.
Kind of a sad day in America, huh?
What happened?
What happened? Well, yesterday, I mean, I know we go at warp speed these days, but yesterday the Senate voted to acquit Donald Trump. And today he got up at two events, one, the National Prayer Breakfast. Tell me again why we have a National Prayer Breakfast. And the other, some like victory party in the East Room of the White House to further demean the office, the Constitution, our country. I'm embarrassed. I'm just frankly embarrassed to be an American today.
So I'm writing right now, so that's why I'm not in touch with what foibles he's up to at this point.
You're not missing
anything. And the story that I'm writing, which is going to be for tomorrow, I just came up with a title.
Yeah.
So it's a working title. But it's by the time we as a society figure out Trump is Hitler, it will be too late to do anything about it. Has that train already left the station?
So I'm going to work on the title a little bit to, you know, get it a little smoother. But that's the idea of what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And
so you think you're depressed, huh?
Yeah. No, and it sounds like you're right in the same frame of mind I'm in. Because we're
exactly
there. I mean, you hear talk of creeping fascism. Well, that's what happened in the 30s. It didn't just happen overnight. It unraveled slowly, and people knew what was going on, but they were basically powerless to stop it. And those who weren't powerless didn't stop it. And again, the song I'm hearing in my head these days is from the Propellerheads with Shirley Bassey singing, "It's All Just a Little Bit of History Repeating."
Whoa. You know, it's not like there's going to be suddenly a vote and they're going to say, well, let's vote whether or not we want to turn into the Third Reich.
Right.
It just doesn't go that way.
No.
One day it's just going to be, it will have happened and it will be too late to do anything about it.
Yeah. So he has this event in the East Room or whatever of the White House today. And he's got the entire Republican caucus of Congress and all his cabinet and sycophants surrounding him, you know, clapping for every ugly word he says. I'm not going to give you too much of it, but just to give you an idea of the kind of shit he was spewing today, listen to this.
And there's nothing from a legal standpoint. This is a political thing. And every time I'd say, this is unfair, let's go to court, they say, sir, you can't go to court. This is politics. And we were treated unbelievably unfairly. And you have to understand, we first went through Russia, Russia, Russia. It was all bullshit.
So there's the president of the United States speaking at an official event from the White House and calls his impeachment bullshit on national television, live, by the way. If a broadcaster says bullshit on the radio, they can be fined hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why is he allowed to do that?
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons why people like him. That's one of the attractive things about him. Ugh. Is that he just says it the way it is. I mean, attractive for some people, and doesn't go along with accepted mores that a lot of people don't like. And that's why he's as successful as he is. I mean, when we just think back to 2016, when no one thought he could possibly be elected,
right?
Because he was such a bore and a pig. He was elected because he was such a bore and a pig,
I guess. And yet these same people who were telling us Donald Trump could never be elected are telling us Bernie can't be elected. Come on, Democrats, if you want to win, you need to go with one of the milquetoast white guys, one of the, you know, with a Joe Biden or a Pete Buttigieg. Really? Who are they to tell us who can win? Because they did such a great job of predicting it in 2016?
Do you think anyone listens to them anymore? I mean, maybe they do. I don't know.
Well, the thing
I got scared today because I noticed that, 538? Is that the name of that website?
Yes, that Nate Silver.
Facebook guy does?
Yeah.
He was predicting that, Bernie was... had like, I don't remember the percentages, but it was something like a 70% chance or more than a 78% chance of winning in New Hampshire.
Yep.
And a 60-some-odd percent chance of winning in Nevada, and even at this point a 49% chance in winning in South Carolina.
Wow.
If Joe Lieberman, I'm not Joe Lieberman, the other one, the other half of that Joe monstrosity,
Biden.
Joe Biden,
yeah.
If he loses in South Carolina, the next time we hear his name will be when we're trying to tell our children who he was at his funeral.
Oh, God. Yeah, things are not looking so good for status quo Joe these days. You know, it's funny.
Right.
Once people get to vote, the pundits kind of have to shut up, except they don't shut up. They just double down on their bullshit.
Well, so they make their livings.
I guess.
And, you know, some of them mean well, and some of them don't. But we're hearing an awful lot of chatter from very, very wealthy people and those who listen to very wealthy people or serve them who are petrified. I mean, Bernie means business. It's not going to be like, with Obama, where they didn't really have anything to worry about. If Bernie becomes president, their lives are going to change drastically. Mm-hmm. And they were panicked. And Biden came in and said, nothing will fundamentally change, to a bunch of people on Wall Street. Now, he really said that. Those aren't my words.
He did.
Those were his words.
Yeah,
nothing will fundamentally change. Well, if Bernie gets elected, a lot is going to fundamentally change.
Right.
And there's great fear of that. And you know what? They're right to fear it because it's going to happen. And they're panicked. And they will do anything to prevent that. And they're doing anything that they can. They've got, look at this point, I'm kind of seeing MSNBC as an enemy.
Oh, horrible.
I mean, we've talked about that for years now.
Yep.
But in some ways they're worse than Fox because we don't listen to Fox. We don't bother with Fox.
Right.
I would rather, watch Netflix than watch Fox. But you know what? I'm feeling the same way about MSNBC. They've got all these, class enemies. Our enemies are on there, and they are presented as our friends, and they're
not
our friends.
That's
They've got these the wives of Wall Street brokers and Wall Street banksters on there pretending to be Democrats, and they're not. I mean, unless you really want to stretch what a Democrat is, which, of course, they do want to stretch what a Democrat is into like anyone who doesn't like Trump.
Right.
I mean, is that the description of a Democrat, anyone who doesn't like Trump?
No, it isn't. And this is the thing I've been trying to impress on people. MSNBC has become the Never Trumper channel. So it's Steve Schmidt and Bill Kristol and
God bless hating Trump. I applaud them. And some of them are very entertaining.
Yeah. Right. But that's as far
saying,
as it goes. They're Republicans. They are going to put forth a Republican ideology. They don't want Bernie Sanders.
And they want the Democrats to join
exactly.
them.
Exactly. And they think, well, look, we're telling you how to win because we're Republicans. We know how to win. We're telling you Democrats who don't know what the hell you're doing. Listen to what we're saying. Jennifer Rubin and Bill Kristol and John Podhoretz and just the whole cast of characters.
Party because they're so lame, and Trump now controls their party.
That's right.
And now they want to take over the Democratic
exactly.
Party.
Exactly. And there are Democrats who are willing to say, "Come, yes, you tell us what to do, and we'll do what you say." Hell no. I'm sorry. If you want to vote for a Republican, vote for a Republican, but don't come over here to our house and tell us what to do.
Right. And that's all they ever say is some of them have literally said on MSNBC, their station, they will vote for any Democrat except, of course, Bernie.
Yeah, right. Right. And so they have
in
this
which
guy.
They'll vote for Trump.
Right. So they have this guy, Jason Johnson, on, who's a PhD
my
of
God,
some
the
sort.
Worst of the worst.
Oh, my God. And
absolute worst.
And so now Nina Turner was talking.
She called him out, but good.
She called
yeah,
him out, and she said, look, Michael Bloomberg is an oligarch. He is. He is. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to be an elected oligarch. He wants to use his billions of dollars to buy himself, already did, into the Democratic debates, into the Democratic Party. Remember, he was the Republican mayor of New York. And buy himself into the process. The Democratic Party was all too happy to take his money and say, sure, we'll change the rules for you so you can get on the debate stage. Fuck Julian Castro and Cory Booker and, people of color who are actual Democrats who were in the race from the beginning. We're not going to change the debate criteria for them. But for you, Michael Bloomberg, because you'll pay us all this money. Sure. Why? Come on in. We want your money. It's disgusting. It's Tom Perez needs to go.
What can we do about that?
I don't know.
There's got to be something. It is the Democratic Party still.
You would
We've got to stop this. What can we do? Maybe someone in your chat room has an idea.
I'm looking. You guys bring them on because I don't know what we do. All I know is if the Democratic Party allows itself to be hijacked by the Never Trumpers, and I'm sorry, that's what Michael Bloomberg is. He's a former Republican Never Trumper who says, yes, I'll just become a Democrat. Nothing's going to change about the way I feel or what I'm going to do, but I'll call myself a Democrat and I'll buy myself the election. If we're
right,
so stupid as to let that happen.
And he's against guns.
Right, and he's against guns, so he's got that going for him.
That's it.
I know. So, Howie Klein, you have a piece going live, I think this afternoon, at downwithtyranny.com.
I was just getting excited.
Well, because this goes with it. The headline of this piece that is going up after the show today is called, If You Were a Democratic Candidate, Who Would You Most Want on the Top of the Ticket? I guess it depends what kind of a candidate you are. If you're a progressive running for Congress, I would think you'd want Bernie Sanders on the top of the ticket, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Although I was asking, when I asked candidates this, I asked them to not think about it from that perspective.
Okay.
I asked them to think about it from just the perspective of being a professional politician.
Hmm.
So, although many of them aren't, the idea is if you're running for Congress and you want to get elected, who at the top of the ticket is going to help you? Because Biden, that's one of his refrains now. He says that every time he gets in front of people, he starts talking about, if I'm at the top of the ticket, Democrats who are running for the Senate, for governor, for state legislatures, and for the House are going to win. And if Bernie is on the top of the ticket, everyone's going to lose. And he says that every time he gets in front of a mic now. So I ask candidates all over the country, do you agree? Do you think that Biden at the top of the ticket? Every single candidate, without one exception, said, but if Biden's on the top of the ticket, we're all going to lose.
Yep.
So they said the exact opposite of him. And I think that the results in Iowa kind of prove that out. I don't think I talked to you or sent you anything about this, but I was up, you know, I get to sleep at 9 o'clock every night because
okay.
I get up at 4 a.m.
Right.
So last night, I was looking at, you know, I was writing and doing math and writing more. And I figured, oh, it must be 10. I better get to sleep. I looked at the clock and it was after midnight.
Oh,
and I think, wow, when's the last time I saw her after midnight? I don't know. But what I was working out was what happened in Iowa's first district. So it's the northeast part of the state.
Okay.
It's a Democratic area. It was the bluest part of Iowa for years. It was Obama's strongest part of the state both times he ran. And they what happened is that the I'm giving you a little history here, but
okay,
the Democrat who was the congressman from there, this guy Bruce Braley, decided to run for the Senate. He lost the Senate race. He was a terrible candidate. But because he left the seat open at a time when people were starting to say the Democrats just stand for the status quo and they're not helping us, this most Democratic congressional district in the whole state flipped red, and they elected a Republican. Now but it's still basically they're the same people. It's a working class Democratic part of the state, and then in 2018 this big anti-red wave swept into the area, and any kind of piece of shit that said they were a Democrat would have won, and a piece of shit won. Her name is Abby Finkenauer.
Oh, right.
She was a member of the state legislature. She was nothing. She was just a nothing. I mean, a friend of mine who's in the leadership of the legislature in Iowa told me she was just a joke. People laughed at her. She was a punchline because she never did a thing. She just, you know, ran her trap but never did anything and was lazy and stupid and a little bit of a careerist. But she managed to get the nomination. The DCCC and Emily's List were happy to help her, and she wound up in Congress. So anyway, make a longer story less long, she endorsed Biden.
Of course.
So I decided to look at every precinct in her district to see what her endorsement of Biden did. Did it help him? And I came to the conclusion that not only did it help him not at all, but it hurt him. that if he hadn't had her endorse him, he probably would have, he wouldn't have won, but he probably would have been, he probably would have done better than he did. I mean, there were counties in that district where he didn't qualify for the next round. And we're talking about, yes, this is the congressman, the congresswoman in this case, who from this district, who's, and he was bragging about her, his campaign, I shouldn't say he doesn't have a clue, but his campaign was running around bragging to the media, who would then repeat it, that he is, she, Abby Finkenauer, who you probably never heard of, or no doubt at anybody else, including people who live in the district, that she was the AOC of the Joe Biden campaign. And they would have, like, Bernie would have a rally, and there'd be 2,000 people there. And they would have a rally, and there would be 8 people there.
Yes.
I mean, how is she the AOC of anything? I mean, she is like the nothing of nothing of nothing is what she is. And there's a reason why I started talking about this, but I don't remember what it was.
Well, it was,
but you had brought up something, and we were talking, and I just immediately interrupted you and started talking about Abby Finkenauer and her endorsement of Joe Biden, which, as I said, kept me up till after midnight and showed me completely that Joe Biden didn't get anything out of this endorsement from her. And this is the same thing all over the country, where he's being endorsed by these people. People who I wouldn't want their endorsement. Ami Bera, this is coming up March 3rd, is going to be in, it's a California race. And in that district, even in Ami Bera's district, people know who he is. Ami Bera is a crook. He's a literal criminal who was going to go to jail, but he got his father to say, no, it wasn't my son who took all this campaign cash and put it in his pocket. It was me. I did it. And
oh,
his father,
God,
his old sick father, is rotting in prison now so that Ami Bera can continue his career building in Congress. Well, of course, who else is Ami Bera going to endorse if not Joe Biden? Joe Biden is perfect. Now some of these types, now they have a choice. They can now endorse Michael Bloomberg. But it's going to always be Michael Bloomberg or Joe Biden, and it's never going to be, we're going back to what you asked me originally, it's never going to be Bernie Sanders. And that's what that is how we got started down this road, is we're talking about candidates who are running for Congress, and they're saying, no, I want Bernie or Elizabeth Warren on top of the ticket because they mean something, and they want to help people with their lives. They want to do something for us. They're not running for them. Especially in the case of Bernie, people are saying this. They are running for us. They are offering us something. They're not saying, vote for me because I want to take a next step in my career. Vote for me because I have the biggest ego in the fucking world.
Yep.
Pardon my friend.
That's fine.
But, I mean, why is Joe Biden running? He deserves it. It's the cap of his career of nothingness.
Right.
Why is Bloomberg running? These people don't want to do anything for America. These people don't want to do anything for any of us. This is about them. Michael Bloomberg is in a rivalry with his old golfing buddy, Donald Trump.
Right.
He is furious that although Trump may or may not have $1 billion, he's got 80 or 60, depending on what day of the week it is, billion dollars. And why should Trump be president instead of him?
Right.
He's very offended by that.
Of course, because he's got more money.
Now he's trying to buy
better.
Us.
Of course.
He is literally trying to buy this election. And that's kind of like, people just say, he's trying to buy the election. But he is.
He is
trying to buy the election.
Yes.
He will spend, God only knows how much money per vote he gets to get this nomination.
He certainly spent
over $200 per vote in New York City to win his first mayoral election. Just horrifying to me that it could have gone this far. And it makes me so sad, Nicole, because I think about who are our countrymen? This is us.
Yeah.
This is what we are. We're this country.
Yeah.
And you say, these Republicans are like all brain dead and they elected Trump. Well, look at these Democrats who think it's great to elect someone like Joe Biden or Michael Bloomberg. Fortunately, they're not a majority, but there's a lot of them.
Right. And the Michael Bloomberg thing has me really nervous, frankly, because he came out of nowhere in some polls. He's in the double digits, and this is where he's spending billions of dollars on TV ads. So the people are seeing him on television and go, oh, I saw him on TV. I'd vote for him because they don't know any better. And Tom Perez is legitimizing it by letting him on the debate stage. Now, he won't be on the stage tomorrow. Tomorrow's a debate in New Hampshire, but he's not running in New Hampshire. So this is just for the New Hampshire primary. But the next one's in for Nevada and South Carolina. Tom Perez changed the rules to let Michael Bloomberg on stage. Now, some people are saying this is a good thing because once the Democrats hear what he's all about, they're going to say no way. But he can lie with the rest of them.
I've been hearing that too. People have been telling me to shut up.
Yeah, no. He can lie with the rest of them. And you know what? He is good on guns, and he's actually pretty good on climate too. But nothing else. I don't trust him on my health care. Don't trust him on Medicare or Social Security. So,
right.
Yeah.
Not at all.
No.
Climate is a pretty big deal, though.
It is a big deal.
Is he good on climate?
He is good on climate.
Does he understand it? Does he know what it is?
He seems to.
The other thing, we don't hear a lot from him directly. It's always scripted stuff and people's spokespeople.
Right.
And the other day, now he's sort of getting on the stage and talking a little bit more. And I've never really thought about this before until yesterday when I was reading him word for word. And he's kind of a little bit senile, like Biden is.
Yeah, well, he's saying
crazy things.
He's Bernie's age. So I don't want to hear another word about Bernie's age. So you can't tell me Bernie Sanders is too old, but Michael Bloomberg's acceptable. And by the way, for all these decades that we've known of Michael Bloomberg, he's always been Michael Bloomberg. Michael Bloomberg. Now all of a sudden he's Mike? What is it, test better in focus groups?
Yes, yes. That was a very, very specific thing that Howard Wolfson decided to do. And it wasn't just this year. It was a couple of years ago. They decided to, they tested it and focus grouped it to death, and they decided, okay, he's Mike Bloomberg.
Oh, God.
I will tell you one thing. People yell at me when I do it.
Yeah.
They don't like it one bit. These are Democrats. But he flips out when people call him, short. And people say, Trump, of course, coined the phrase mini Mike.
Yes.
And Bloomberg goes bonkers over it. I mean, every time Trump says mini Mike, he throws another $1 million into his advertising.
Just what we need is another jerk, another thin-skinned guy who thinks his money makes him better than the rest of us, which is exactly what these two believe.
Oh, he's a really bad guy. I mean, he is a very, very bad guy. People don't know it, but he has been for his whole career. He has been, a serial sexual abuser, a total predator. The women, it was just the same as Trump, a rich guy thinking he could take advantage and buy his way out of everything. They're so similar. It's horrifying. And, but he's against guns.
Yeah, he is against guns. You know what? What do they say? Even a stop clock is right twice a day. I'm glad he's good on guns. Good. So, you know what?
Yeah.
Let Bernie be president and make Mike Bloomberg the gun czar. Works for me.
Maybe the assistant gun czar. He's not going to work for anybody.
No.
That's not who Michael Bloomberg is. He's not someone who works for anybody. He's someone who people work for.
Now, do you believe his line?
We're just going to have to keep pushing on that in a big way and start, progressives know what he is. And we're going to have to share our intelligence with voters who don't know. I mean, like I was just saying, people saw years and years and years of Trump on TV. They felt they knew him. And this is a guy who was elected because of his lame TV show. That's why he got elected.
Yep.
If not Putin, it was the lame TV show.
Yeah.
And now Bloomberg realized that. So he's just he is blanketing the air. I was listening to an NPR show last night, and they were saying you can open a website that is made for people between the ages of 8 and 12, and you see Michael Bloomberg ads.
Oh, my God.
And that's it.
Oh, my God. We have become that dystopian novel that never would get made into a movie because the movie studios looked at it and said, this is too unbelievable. It's not feasible. This could never happen. We're living it now. That's where we are. It's really sad. Howie Klein, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
To help uplift your listeners.
Of course we did. Tomorrow on the program, I have Rick Hassan. He's like a great election journalist. He's got a new book called Election Meltdown, Dirty Tricks, Distrust, and the Threat to American Democracy. So that's tomorrow. Thank you, Howie. I'll talk to you next week.
Great. Thank you.
Bye. And you, we'll see you tomorrow and try to figure out if, see what Rick Hassan says, if we can keep it. I don't think we can. I think we've already lost it. Just call me Cynical Sandler. I'll see you tomorrow, everyone.